Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome back to the show, the DL Link Show on 101.9 High FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. So this is for runners or riders, or perhaps both runners and riders, and of course the incredible DL Link supporters, because something big is coming. For the first time ever, we're heading to the Cape. That's the Cape Town Marathon, on its journey to becoming one of the majors. So it's a new city, it's a new race, same powerful purpose. So whether you've pounded the pavement with us before, or you're ready for your first big challenge, this may very well be your moment. Join Team DL Link and help make it huge and loud and proud, and of course, deeply meaningful. Riders, mark your calendar, because Ride Joburg is coming up on October the 26th. So save the date. So it's one mission. It's two cities, both of them Sundays. So let's run, let's ride, let's make it count. So get involved now ASAP, as early as possible. So why don't you email events at dllink.co.za, and you can get more information. That's events at dllink.co.za. So even though it is the 28th of August, you know, August is Women's Month, and we have Women's Day, and all corporates are arranging phenomenal, wonderful events, all for women. And, you know, I don't know when the last time you went on to TikTok and Instagram, and, you know, they all seem to be these experts popping up all over the place telling you, if you're menopausal, do this, if you're menstruating, do that, if you're pregnant, do this, eat this, do this, and everyone seems to be an expert. And there is a lot of misinformation out there. I mean, I think it's great to have information, but sometimes the information's not 100% correct, and it may not be coming from the right people. And really, it's something that we should be wary of. And I have Dr. Bavi Vithiningam. I know I have mispronounced that. I'm so sorry. A psychiatrist practicing at Netcare Akiso Kenilworth, to talk about women's mental health, which echoes across generations. So welcome, Doctor. So lovely to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm going to ask you to please help me pronounce your surname.
You almost got it right. It's Vithiningam, so you were very, very close.
Vithiningam. Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So I'm really very excited to talk to you. You know, Women's Month, and reading the article about this misinformation out there. You know, as it is, we know the kind of daily pressures that women have to face, very much compounded by a lot of information out there. Some of it is helpful, some of it not so helpful, so it's not so helpful, and some quite damaging and confusing. Perhaps you can speak to that, if you don't mind.
So as you said, there's lots and lots of information out there, and it's difficult for people to know what is correct and what is incorrect. We had spoken specifically in the article about misinformation about medication for depression and anxiety during pregnancy. And I think, you know, a simple place to start for people would be, if you're not sure whether the information is correct, ask your healthcare provider. So ask your doctor, ask your gynae, ask your GP, ask your clinic sister, because they're all trusted sources of information and they can help guide you in the right direction.
Yeah. So let's talk about women's mental health. And thank you for clarifying that. Let's talk about women's mental health. We also, in the article, it speaks to, you know, the different stages. And when you go, when you look at menstruation and then you look at pregnancy, you look at if post-pregnancy, post-birth, if you're breastfeeding, you look at perimenopausal stage, the menopausal stage, the stages beyond that. There are tremendous hormonal fluctuations taking place. To accommodate and create the next stages of these lives. How does, you know, a mother, for example, who has a young teenage daughter who's going into menstruation and going through these upheavals, the ups and the downs, when it comes to emotions, at what point do you say, oh, she's a young teenager and this is normal, or perhaps this is something more and perhaps I need to step in here?
Well, I think the one thing we need to look at is the severity. How much disruption do these ups and downs cause in your life? And how does it make you feel? If, for example, you have a young girl who every month just before her period starts feeling like she wants to harm herself, or she's feeling suicidal, or she really, really can't cope, then that is something that you should get help for, because there are lots of things we can do to help that. But if it's maybe just mild mood changes and some breast tenderness and some carb cravings, that's not necessarily something that you would need to medicate, but you could just support the person and support your daughter in that and reassure her that many women go through it.
Yeah. And I think to stress there that if you don't know, it's kind of like what you were saying right at the beginning, so much information out there, but if you don't know, turn to the professionals and get from the professionals a proper diagnosis and then take it from there.
No, absolutely. I mean, rather go and see your doctor and be told, actually, this is just normal and we can support you and we can reassure you, than miss something. Because, you know, you see so many women who struggled with menstrual-related stuff and have had it since they were teenagers, and they're now in their 30s and 40s and still struggling. And that's not what we want. We want people to get help early.
Yeah, yeah. Do you, in your experience, I mean, we're just talking about young girls and menopause, and you spoke about the pregnancy and the medication for depression and anxiety during pregnancy. We look at perimenopausal, menopausal. From your experience, is there a particular time in a woman's life where she has a higher risk for depression, anxiety, or other mental health conditions?
So anytime there's hormonal shifts, so we see it when women start menstruating, that's a time of increased risk. Then again, when your hormones fluctuate around your period, generally the premenstrual time is a time of increased risk. Pregnancy, and then when you have a baby, there's huge hormonal fluctuations. So we often see women presenting for the first time with depression and anxiety. And then again, when you go through perimenopause, when your hormones start fluctuating, but in the other direction, they start getting lower and they start becoming erratic. Often women will present again with depression and anxiety, particularly if they've had problems either during menstruation or with pregnancy or in the postnatal period.
Would you say that from your experience, in terms of the fluctuations of the hormones, if you had tremendous fluctuations as a young girl during menstruation, do you see that the similar kind of fluctuations later on? So, for example, during pregnancy, during menopause?
You know, it's difficult to say, because for most women, we're not testing hormones. We just rely on what they tell us and what their symptoms are. But certainly what we know is that women who have anxiety, depression, any kind of mental illness at a time of hormonal fluctuation in their life. So if they're having that with menstruation, if it's during pregnancy, they're then more likely to have it at a time of another hormonal fluctuation. So women, for example, who have premenstrual dysphoric disorder are more likely to have a pregnancy-related or a postnatal depression.
Wow, incredible. So again, I mean, I spoke to you about a mother looking and observing her daughter going through those ups and downs. So now we could look at women who are pregnant. And you've said, you know, these fluctuations as well. Same thing. When would friends or family, is there anything that they would notice that could signal that it's more than just, you know, an increase in hormones, perhaps exhaustion, but it could be something more, and perhaps steps need to be taken.
Sorry, Nikki, you broke up a little bit there. Were you asking around pregnancy and when people could see
Yes,
that somebody? Okay. So what
exactly.
we really look at is we look at the time duration. So it's common in pregnancy to have changes in your mood or to be more anxious. But if that's going on for more than 2 weeks and it's happening most of the day, nearly every day, and at the same time there's problems with the way you function or you're feeling very distressed, then we would say now's the time to go and seek help, because that's a marker that this is something that's not normal and needs to have treatment to make it go away.
Yeah, but we can all relate to the sleeplessness, the overwhelm, the responsibility, and the hormones. It's a wonderful time, and it's supposed to be a wonderful time, but it can be an incredibly challenging time. And I think that that also can bring in so much pressure. The mother who can't bond with the child, with the baby, the newborn, because of how she's feeling, and the guilt and the shame associated with that, doctor. So, in terms of interventions and medication, would you be cautious when you medicate post-pregnancy? We're talking now post-pregnancy, because of breastfeeding, or you know, how do you cope? You know, yeah, what kind of medication do you look at that stage, understanding that there are these hormonal fluctuations?
So there are many medications that are safe during pregnancy and during breastfeeding. I mean, I just want to say, first of all, that psychotherapy is our go-to for any mother who's pregnant or breastfeeding. But sometimes for women who are more ill, who've got a moderate to severe illness, we need to do meds as well so that they can shift and they can get better. So generally, the medications we use are the SSRIs, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are things like fluoxetine, which people know as Prozac, or sertraline, which is things like Sirlife or Sirdep. You know, these medications have been shown in hundreds of thousands of women to be safe during pregnancy and breastfeeding. And like you said before, you know, we want a mother to bond with her child. We want her to be able to cope in the family. So we always have to balance that up against what is actually a very, very small risk with medication.
And in terms of the medication, doctor, your recommendation, would you say to patients that when they are on medication that they should be coming back every 6 months for bloods to see what's happening, to reassess medication, as opposed to seeing it as a long-term intervention? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, when we start meds, we actually bring people back earlier. So we would see them in about 2 to 3 weeks or sometimes a month afterwards, because we need to see how they've responded. We would then plan how we see them depending on how well they respond. And I would say to people, get well, and then you have to stay on meds for a bit, for a couple of months, at least 6 months after you get well, because that prevents you from relapsing. But then you can speak to your doctor and you can make a joint decision about whether you come off meds or whether you stay on meds. And it's important to do that because we don't want you to get sick again. You know, it might be better to stay on meds for a longer time, not necessarily lifelong, but maybe a bit longer. And then you come off meds and you come off meds completely, and then you don't get sick again, rather than coming off quickly or coming off too quickly and then relapsing. So it's really individualized to each patient.
But with a focus on it being monitored,
Absolutely.
and yeah, and seeing what happens with the medication. Of course, I suppose it goes with whether you're on the right medication, the right combination, but it's working very closely with your doctor so that you find what's right for you and you're monitoring that process. I think that's, yeah, I think it's so important to stress that. Doctor, the menopause, the perimenopause and menopause, and we know there are all these symptoms, and so often the symptoms aren't spoken about, and we're not talking about it from that point of view, but from your point of view as a psychiatrist, do you find that there are more women who are turning at this stage of their life to medication to support this transition in life?
I think women are far more aware of the symptoms of menopause, and they're far more aware of what is mental illness, what is depression and anxiety, and that they know that there are different treatment options that they exist. And certainly one of them is medication. And I think it's actually great that women who need medication can access medication and feel comfortable about taking it, because ultimately we want women to be well. And if medication is one component of that, I think why not take it? Why not do everything you can to make yourself feel better?
Yeah. And just one last question, Doc. You know, on this show, it's all about cancer awareness. So for women who are facing a major health diagnosis, what is your advice for coping with the emotional and mental stressors that a situation like this can present?
I think it's really important to talk about it, to talk about it to your loved ones. But if you're feeling overwhelmed, get professional help. And, you know, many of the cancer people who treat cancer or the cancer organizations have counselors and therapists that are available to you. So if you are feeling overwhelmed, speak to your doctor and see what mental health services you can access. And don't be afraid about taking medication if needed, because there are many meds that are safe with your treatment. And also just to say, you know, often people think, gosh, I've got this terrible diagnosis, I should feel awful. The two don't necessarily go hand in hand. We can treat depression and anxiety very effectively in people who have cancer. And it doesn't mean that just because you have cancer, you've got to suffer from depression as well.
Yeah, I think it's such an important point, because if you're feeling okay, then you have so much more inner strength to face that that cancer journey. Dr. Vithilingam, thank you very much for joining us. It's really been lovely having you on the show and just bringing the awareness to women's mental health during the month of August, the fluctuations, the stages, that there is so much information out there, and a lot of it is great, but some of it is misinformation. And if you don't know, ask your doctor. Google, not good enough. Ask your doctor.
Thank you so much.